I'm not just saying it when I mention how much I'm looking forward to this prayer meeting because, or the prayer vigil, because the one thing I regret about it is that we scheduled it on a Sunday and not a Saturday, because I love preaching. Actually, after there's been this 24-hour prayer going on in the sanctuary, because you can feel the difference. I don't know how to put that, but in my spirit, I feel it. And so I really look forward to what we are going to see God do. So on that note, let's pray again. Father, bless Mary Lou, who is praying for us right now. And Lord, help us to pray as we continue in this time. You've given us this beautiful setting and also the comforts of home as we're here together in your presence. Lord, help us to hear exactly what you want us to hear. May you speak to us. May your presence and peace meet us wherever we are, every listener. Lord, we long for you. We wait for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So you've got to love Salome. If she had a chariot, it would have a bumper sticker on the back that says, "My sons are two of the 12." No other mom could make that claim. Only, okay, well, Peter and Andrew's mom, but Jesus only had a nickname for one of them that we know of. I mean, Peter the Rock, you know. But her sons, James and John, they were the sons of thunder. That's what Jesus called them. Whoa, you know? So, of course, Jesus would do what she asked for them. I mean, why wouldn't he? I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's go to God's Word, Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. Kind of a fun passage for Mother's Day. And we'll see what happens here. Again, Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. And again, this is out of our 5 by 5 by 5 reading program. So we're reading along. This was, I think, the one for last Sunday, which is the first day of the week. So we barely squeaked it in. But here we go, Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." May we pray again. Lord, your word, your truth, and the focus of your spirit, we pray, to hone in on what you are saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I really don't mean to be too hard on Salome. After all, it is Mother's Day. But to get started, how do we know what her name was when Matthew just called her the mother of Zebedee's sons? Well, Matthew and Mark tell us together. Matthew 27 tells us who is looking on at the cross when Jesus is crucified. And he mentions three women and uses the same name for her, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. But Mark tells us the three women in the same order, using almost identical language, and calls her by her name, Salome. So Mark 16 also tells us that she brought spices to the tomb on Easter morning along with the other Marys. So Salome was a faithful, devoted follower of Jesus. Don't confuse her with the Salome of the Dance of the Seven Veils. I don't think we even know her name. That's just sort of a name that, cropped up later in lore, about the Herodias' daughter who danced for Herod and had John the Baptist put to death. Different Salome. So we need to understand this Salome is faithful to grasp what's happening with this request of hers. So moms, watch this closely because I think you'll be able to identify. She makes this request of Jesus in verse 21. Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. And Jesus responds in verse 22, you don't know what you're asking. And I imagine Jesus looked primarily at her when he says this because he knows the pain and suffering that walking with him to the cross and in the years that follow will entail. And no woman would want her sons to go through that. But keep reading, and you'll notice something interesting. She's the one asking the question, but Matthew doesn't write, Jesus said to her. Matthew writes, look at this, don't miss it. Jesus said to them. So James and John, the strapping sons of thunder, are standing there close to mom when she asks Jesus the question. And you got to read the room on this. Don't you love it? I mean, she's there kneeling before Jesus. And can't you just imagine the conversation a few moments before, the hushed voices? Mama, please ask him, Mama. Mama, just go ahead and ask him for us. Mama, you're good friends with his mama. He won't say no to you. Mom, have you ever had your kids put you up to something that maybe you should have thought twice about? I distinctly remember some conversations with a school principal that didn't turn out so well once all of the facts were in. And I think it's the same way here. Verse 22, you don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. Do you see, even here, Jesus is placing himself under the Father. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. Now, if there's any doubt about who put Salome up to asking this, if you think that's eisegesis, I'm just reading into it, then please look at verse 24. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Okay? They're not mad at Mama. They know her too well. And as a matter of fact, when Mark tells us this, in Mark 10:35, he leaves her out of it entirely. Mark's just, I think, being respectful. She's an accessory, not the instigator. Now watch what Jesus does after this. Verse 25, Jesus called them, meaning all the disciples, together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Oh no, we never see anything like that. Well, let me keep reading. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the other disciples are angry because they're thinking the same way James and John are. How can we get a little favor with Jesus here? And this is a great opportune lesson on leadership. It's not the one that we see so often, is it? I mean, this turns the world's way of thinking on its head. If you want to be a leader, serve. Serve. Really serve. Stretch yourself to serve and to love that way. Moms do this naturally. The rest of us have to learn. Paul sums it up in Philippians 2 this way: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. The leadership of service. Wouldn't you see that? Oh, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. By the way, that's also the reason, the main reason behind when we do our officer nominating at Peace, we have that clause on the nominating form that you have to, you know, indicate you've read certain scripture verses, you've prayed about this, then you go to someone. One of the clauses on it is, do not nominate someone who has put their own name forward. Because again, what we want are those who are looking to just serve Jesus. And that, you have a way of seeing as we gather together. And to serve with love, that's not only service that you see, it's service that you feel. And we long for that. That's how Jesus serves. Now, there are at least two more takeaways. We'll just go with two and keep it a three-point sermon from all of this. But Salome's approach to Jesus, Jesus' response to James and John and the others, a couple of interesting things. I'm going to speak to moms with this, but the rest of you, please listen in. This is about the requests we make of God, especially the requests that we make for those that we love. First point is, it's always good, or I guess the second point, it's always good to ask before you ask. Ask before you ask. When you're thinking about what you want for your child, imagine what the conversation would have gone like if Salome had said something like, Lord, what is it that you want for James and John? What did you make them for? I'd really love to know. I see some things that are really cool, but what do you have in mind? Lord, when you come into your kingdom, what do you see them doing? Wouldn't that be a great conversation, man, to get some insight into that? I think that's a prayer that God would love to answer. He may not tell her everything, but I'll bet he'd tell her quite a bit. And the little bit that he'd tell her would keep her going. So that's the first insight. Ask before you ask. And the second takeaway is, notice the order of Salome's request. And this is where it's kind of, you know, learn by not doing this. Who comes first? Well, here she puts her kids first. And you can't blame her for that. That's the natural order of things, but Jesus' response shows us a better way. And it reminds us that our children are a gift from God. He determined that they would be. He knows the very reason they were born. It's like Eric Liddell, the Scott Gold Medal runner, the later missionary to China, who said, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. The psalmist wrote, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Psalm 139, 13. Then goes on to speak of the plans that God has. Mom, how good it is to know that as much as you love your child, God loves her, God loves him even more. You love her so much that you would die for her, but he already did. And knowing that he loves her like that, loves him like that, can help you pray. His love comes first. It always has. And the best thing you can do as a parent is to point your child to that amazing love and get that love from him and let him love through you. Love God and let his love inform what you do with your kids. And you will find he meets you in unexpected places and blesses you in surprising ways. You will be blessed, deeply blessed, even in those places, and I can say this as a dad, where you mess up. You will find God is good and God is faithful. I want to just close on that personal note. My mom was, I was a bit of a surprise. My mom was in her 40s when I was born, and she'd had twins, actually, just 2 years before, 2.5 years before. I was the last one of five, and we were close. We were close. But growing up, Mom was always watching. My mom had this faith. She, her father died when she was 11. I had an uncle who had leukemia, and he was giving blood for him. He succumbed to pneumonia. He had given too much blood, my grandfather, and died at age 39. But God saw, or my mother saw God take care of her family. She was the oldest of six. And God just watched over them in beautiful ways. And this was through the Great Depression. And but Mom, in all of this, developed this gift of faith because she saw God's faithfulness as she trusted him. And so when I was born, it was like she was always watching. Well, why did I have this child? And that question came to mind because she was in a car wreck when she was carrying me, and the tow truck driver told her, "You shouldn't be here looking at these tracks. You should have gone over the edge of that mountainside." So Mom, just from a young age, she instilled in me, "You're here for a reason. God has something for you to do." She never forgot it. She would not let me forget it. And of course, at the time, I didn't want to hear it. I mean, there were lots of days where it was like, "Oh, come on, Mom." And sometimes she'd look at me in response and she'd start, she'd break out. She was 5'4", but she had this big voice, and she'd just break out in a hymn. And that just set me further up the wall. But now looking back, I'm so glad she did. She had this connection. And what a beautiful connection it is when the one who created you and created the life within you communicates to you purposes for that life. You may not know it all, but you'll see a lot. You know how well you know your child, often better than they know themselves. But when you bring God into that picture, the beauty of what happens. Mom had tapped into something I wasn't close to yet. But years later, oh, man. Let me just say, I am so glad she did. And she prayed for me. And she loved me in spite of myself. And I truly was blessed. I still am. And I praise God for it. For her. May we pray. Father, thank you for your love that never lets us go. Thank you that you have just naturally instilled so much of that in a mom, that you love us fiercely, that your love pursues us, that your love keeps us out of messes, and when it doesn't, helps us clean them up, or cleans them up, and us too. Oh, Lord, help us draw near to you. Help us to learn for those we love the things that you would have us pour into them. Lord, thank you for the gift of life. You are Creator. You who love us more than life. Thank you for the gift of your Son. If there is anyone in the sound of my voice this morning who has come, and as you've been sitting here, perhaps you've felt God just tapping you on the shoulder, speaking to you quietly. Our deepest need, our greatest need is for Jesus. He shows us love. He is love personified. And if you come to him, you will know his love. He went to the cross so that we could know it, so that we could know him. And humbling ourselves and praying, Lord, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. I want you in my heart, in my life. Lord, I need you to lead me through life, to show me where to go, what to do. Lord, I receive you. I receive you as my Lord. Our beautiful Savior meets us in the simplest of prayers. And Lord, we praise you that you do, and that you pray for us. Love us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our last song is Before the Throne of God Above.